Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an absolute treat we have today. I could call her a unicorn. I could call her one in a trillion. There's lots of different ways we could go about to open this episode. And I think we go with her tagline, experience is priceless. Because this is essentially Hitch if you're looking at employment. Misty Cook from Concierge on Call is here today. Misty, thank you so much for being on the Got Your Six podcast.
You bet. I'm so excited to be here.
We talked about before the show started, and I thought it was really, really interesting. How, after 20 years, did you think you were suffering from imposter syndrome in the Marine Corps?
You know, whenever I got out, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. But what I have done is I have read so much about business. And I mean, you can't find me without AirPods and listening to a book after another, because I know there is not enough time in the day to like keep up. And so learning as much as I can, I know that I've seen it. And I've seen it even with my own clients, that they encounter certain things and they start to hesitate. Or maybe they just make an excuse for not showing up or not wanting to be a part of a panel or going to consult for certain things. And really what it comes down to is, do you feel like you're enough? Do you feel like you're adequately prepared or you have enough experience? And so imposter syndrome, you don't know that there's a title for it, but once you start to read about it, you're like, man, I just want to make sure that it's almost like your spidey senses are up and there's a red flag that if you catch yourself saying, nah, I don't want to go. I mean, maybe it's just that you're scared, you know, and there's a little bit of fear there. So it's to try to overcome that. And I think, you know, as veterans, we're all like aware of like, okay, we've got to push through. And so when you see yourself do that, it's like, okay, this is where you push through and you find out, you know what, actually, I know exactly what to do and I know exactly what to say. And I can, you know, sit at this table just like the rest of you.
I think that's a great definition. And as you look at it, do you have a specific example where you were suffering like just massive imposter syndrome?
You know what? No. No, I have been very crystal clear on exactly what I want to do and how I want to do it. And I think, you know, you and I spoke a little bit, but it's kind of like, I think when you walk into a room and you know your value, you just are very convicted about that. And so I know what I bring to the table and I know what kind of value I can bring to my clients. And so I think you just have to work on it. If that is something that happens to you and it's a real thing, then, but it, no, I've actually never felt that way. Like it's been 5 years. I was planning this business for 5 years before I even left the service. I mean, it was my hobby before it was my full-time job.
You talked about defining your value. How were you able to understand what that value is and what it is to others?
So, I mean, I remember exactly where I was standing, but General Kelly was at a retired EOS. It's the executive offsite for our retired generals in the Marine Corps. And so we bring them all back once a year and make sure that everybody has the most up-to-date information on what's going on with policy. And he was standing there and I asked him how retirement was going. And he, you know, he expressed some pain points that were happening because they go from having a staff of 20 people to them sitting at their kitchen table, Googling how to start an LLC. And general officers are just like anybody else that's starting a business. And so they're by themselves. And so as he was expressing all of these things like travel and coordinating events and coordinating meetings, and he's naming every single thing that I do currently as an active duty Marine staff secretary. And I'm like, you know what? Like, they still need help and they become very, you know, highly in demand and they become still the same level of strategic thinkers when they're retired. And so I'm like, I should recreate the staff that helps them become and perform at that same level so they can stay at 30,000 feet and I can stay at this tactical level and make sure that, you know, meetings are coordinated and flights are taken care of and all those things. So yeah, it was a General Kelly moment about 5 years before I retired that I'm like, there's something there. And so I just started putting the pieces together. I told everybody that I knew. Every time somebody would say, what are you going to do next? I would say, I'm starting my own business. And some people didn't like that, Tony, I'll tell you. They were like, don't tell people that. Like, you don't know, you might change your mind. Or people are going to think you're not serious about the Marine Corps. I mean, like, there were people that pulled me in their office and said, don't tell people that.
So what did you say to them? Because that's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah. That particular person, I said, you know, I mean, I felt like, one, it's not illegal for me to say this isn't my next goal. But I think it goes back to, like, these are the types of people that have never transitioned. And they don't plan to transition in the next 10 years. And so they're telling me that, but that's because they've never, you know, had to start considering what are some of the next options. And I knew at 20 years, that was what I was going to do. And so I think, you know, I just said, you know, this is my plan. I'm not changing my mind. I know exactly what I'm doing. And I want to make sure that the world knows, because when it comes down to it, I don't have a commercial. I don't have anything. All I have is me telling people who I am and what I do. And so, and it's people like you that spend time with us to say that we share any kind of valuable, you know, get our name out there to tell people how, you know, you can get in touch with us. And so I think for that particular instance, I just didn't even take it seriously.
You also touched on something that was interesting. Being a current service member and then having someone in your formation talk about retirement, transitioning, you know, ETS, whatever it may be across the service. What advice would you give to current service members helping people transition? So it's not just like, all right, how you doing? Keep it moving kind of thing.
Yeah, I would say the first thing is asking questions. First, think about what it is that you want to do. If what your current job is does not light you up in the morning, then maybe that's not what it is. And so it's, you know, seeking out early on what kind of certificates or things that you need to be able to go into that next industry. And then I would say the second thing is LinkedIn is such a powerful tool, and probably the way you found me, right? So I think using some kind of social media and LinkedIn as a professional network, that you start asking questions, you tell people in those industries that you're interested in, hey, I'm a veteran and I'm really interested in what you do. Would you give me 15 minutes or can I buy you a cup of coffee? I mean, you can filter by your local area. And so sitting down with those people and learning about what they do, and then the more time they're investing in you, you might find that they say, you know what, there's a position here, or, but you've got to nurture that relationship. So I'd say, you know, broadening your network outside of DOD. Don't just keep asking, you know, service members and government service what you should do in transition, because they've never transitioned. So ask the people in that, you know, industry about what you should do and how you should do it to get there.
And with that, right, let's look at the flip side of the people that are staying in service. How can they best help somebody transitioning out of service?
Yeah, that's such a great question. Because, I mean, how can you really help them when you're sitting there and you've never done it yourself? You probably need to educate yourself on the fact is that we're all going to get out eventually. And you personally growing your own network and being able to introduce that person that says, you know what, I'd really like to go into IT. I'm sure you know somebody. And so maybe making that introduction, there's so much easier to have an introduction, a warm introduction by someone that they know and say, hey, would you mind talking to this sergeant? He's getting out next month. You probably know somebody. So I would say that building your network outside of DOD so that you can support the men and women that are like your subordinates is probably my piece of advice for those people, because there's nothing easier.
And that goes along with your mantra too of what, you know, surrounding yourself with people that will mention your name in a room full of opportunities,
mm-hmm.
right? Because all you need to do, like, even though you haven't gone through transition as a current service member, you just need to allow somebody to be inside that room and then let them take it from there.
Yeah. And it's only going to help you in the long run, right? You're going to get out too. So building your own personal network and joining professional organizations outside of the military. I know we get kind of sucked into, like, you know, the Commandant's Reading List or whatever, you know, but On War can only take you so far. Clausewitz can only do so much, but eventually you're going to get out and you're going to work for a company that maybe that's not on their reading list. So building a network in private industry is important.
And speaking of being a lifelong learner, you mentioned that you're always having an audiobook in your, what are you listening to these days?
You know, let me think. So I just finished over the holidays, The 12-Week Year is one of my favorite books. So I think that's just been such a valuable tool and really being honest. Actually, I posted today about, you know, grading yourself at the end of the week for your goals and being honest with yourself instead of just saying, yep, I did a good week. You know, I love Be Brave, Not Perfect. I think we get really caught up in being perfect or not starting something or being hesitant when you're like, you know what, it's just not right. But you know what, like, it's never going to be perfect. I think being brave, I'll tell you a story, the Commandant, so they have this retired EOS, and fast forward, I knew that the retired EOS was going into town, and as a networker, and these are potential clients of mine, I knew that the one place in the city that I needed to be was that garden, like they were having a social, and I'm like, how am I going to get there? And so I'm like, I could either be brave, and I can ask for an invitation, or I can sit right here, and I'm not going. And I had just read the book and I'm like, what's it going to hurt? Like I know somebody that could get me one and I can just say, and if you can't give me an invitation, no problem. I mean, my feelings aren't hurt. And 2 days later I got that invitation and you know, there that Friday night, I'm standing in the middle of that garden with 50 retired generals that are my potential clients that I got to shake hands and say, my name is Misty Cook and I can help you transition. Right. And so it's all about putting yourself in those rooms. And even though it might feel a little awkward, it didn't hurt. And I wouldn't have gone if I didn't ask.
Is that the question that you ask yourself when you're kind of on the fence of whether or not to like push into an opportunity? It's like whether I'm going to stay here or, you know, 1% is better than 0%.
Yes, exactly. Yes, there's this small little voice in the back of your head that you're like, ah, should I do that? And then you're like, no, like what is going to hurt? And if it's not going to hurt anybody, then you just push the door in because nobody is coming to get you to say, would you love to go to this party, this perfect party, you know, or this perfect networking event. When it comes to networking, I will tell you one of the most powerful things is not saying no. And I use this analogy of buying a cup of coffee. I offered to buy this gentleman a cup of coffee. And I said, if you would give me 30 minutes of your time, I would really appreciate it. I just want to pick your brain. He was a business owner and he was a retired Marine. So I said, he was like, better yet, I'll buy you lunch. I'm like, perfect. So he buys me lunch and he starts to talk to me about networking. And he's like, if you get the opportunity to say yes. And I'm like, of course. 2 days later, he writes me a note and says, I just bought a table at the Maryland Chamber of Commerce. Somebody just fell out. You know, he bought a table of 10. Somebody just fell out. Can you replace her tomorrow? And I'm like, I felt like a test, Tony. I was like, well, we just talked about networking. So I have to say yes. I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll be there tomorrow. So I go and to my right is this banker and I start talking to him. Fast forward, he is the philanthropic arm for his bank and it's all veteran organizations. So then we start to make our own relationship and he starts inviting me to opportunities. So you could go back to and you'll see me and David at multiple things. He's like, you want to be my plus one? You want to be my plus one? Yes, yes, yes. All the way to an opportunity that I met the Washington Commander's back office. And that was, hey, we're starting this Defense Alliance partnership program. And we would love, you know, and they tell me, and I'm like, I would love to bring my clients to that. And so I tell them who my clients are. Yes. So fast forward, that cup of coffee got me to the Partners Club drinking champagne. And it took 4.5 months of yes, yes, and yes. And that's networking. You know, that's like just continuing to nurture a relationship all the way 10 people later. It's not whoever's standing in front of you. And then, you know, they don't bring value to you and you don't bring value to them. And then the end. It's all about the next person and maybe the fourth person, you know? But sometimes I think we just get either too busy or too lazy to continue to say a yes. And then we're like, oh, that person's not any value to me. They're not going to do anything for me. And it's like, you're right. But the 10th person, had you said yes, that would have opened the door you were looking for.
Right. And that's a classic like improv, like yes and, right? It's like, yes, I want to do this. And we can also do like, and that forms collaboration. What do you say to people that would look at that and say like, oh, you're just using people?
You know, one of the things I've told somebody the other day was when you're on the phone and you're like networking, you always end it with, who do you need to meet and how can I help you? because I know somebody you need and you know somebody I need. And so none of those relationships walked away where they were like, well, I mean, let me just introduce you to the next person. And I didn't say either let me help you or let me introduce you to somebody. And so I think that's probably the part behind the scenes that you don't see. It's always about, and maybe that's a good reason why you've got to expand your network outside of DOD, because when you offer that, you need to be able to say, here's my resources and you need to meet somebody and I'll introduce you to somebody else. And you can't do that if you've just lived in this DOD silo for so long.
What is the opening question in that sense, right? Like usually in an opening question to meet someone, you say like, where are you from? Kind of what do you do? What questions do you look to avoid asking when you're meeting someone for the first time?
I usually ask them like, who's their audience? Like what's their like most recent, who are they trying to get in front of? And then when you start to hear like, what are some of their challenges, to see if you could be the person that meets that pain point and says, you know what, I know somebody that could help you do that. So I think the conversation can be listening to what is their daily job, what's their mission, and what are the challenges that they currently have, so that maybe when you get to the end and you say, you know what I could do is I could introduce you to Sally because she's actually a bookkeeper and she's amazing. And I hear that's something that's really challenging for you. So I think it's just kind of keeping your ears open to like, what is their, when they complain or they're kind of like thinking about what gives them pause throughout the day, that you can solve for that. And I think that's what I've just tried to do for the last year, is meet as many people to make sure that when somebody says, I wish I had this, then I might not know the answer, but I definitely know somebody that they can meet.
Right. And it's remaining engaged in that conversation, because it's very easy to ask. But when you really care about what that answer is and you're listening, you're not just trying to formulate to sound smart and be like, oh.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Now, it does keep you engaged because you're constantly thinking, how am I going to help them? Who am I going to introduce them to? And I think it's such a two-way street that we just don't have to network when we're, you know, inside the service. I mean, your people are your people. You all have the same, you know, culture, and you don't have a bottom line. You're not trying to like get your paycheck. And if you don't do something, you're not getting paid. It's just a different mentality when you're creating opportunity so that somebody can like actually do business with somebody. And so you're constantly thinking of ways to help them or introduce them to the right person. So it's definitely a two-way street. And I even told somebody on a message once, I'm like, they were like, could you help me do this? And I'm like, yes, just to let you know, in the future, you should say, what can I help you with? And they responded like, oh yeah, that's a good idea. But they didn't say it. I was like, okay, hopefully the next person gets that.
That belief of creating opportunities for others, has that really been the most fundamental thing that's improved your life since you've gotten out of the Marine Corps, or something else that you would point to be like, actually, it's this thing over here that was significant to how far I've been able to take my career after service?
Okay, people are my superpower. Let me tell you, never met a stranger. I love people. I love hearing their story. I know everybody's got challenges. And so I think trying to figure out what makes people tick, what makes people happy, and just getting to know them is really where it starts for me. So I think making relationships has been super simple for me. And I mean, I wrote a post the other day about turning down my sunshine, because that's what people used to say, because I'm just a little bit sunnier than most. And that was not, you know, common, I guess, in the Marine Corps. So whenever you get out and you have to make those relationships, some people just aren't people, you know, and they're not looking for that. So I think that part, if you aren't good at making relationships or getting to know people so that you can get introduced to the right person, and you got to put yourself out there, or you got to show up to a room where there is 150 strangers and you got to just put your hand down and say, my name is Misty Cook. I help people do X and I can help you do this. And you've got to practice. It's not going to come easy. It's actually going to be awful those first couple times. Your 20 to 30 second pitch will turn into 60 or 95 seconds and they're just nodding off. But the more you do it, the better you get at it. And then you start to get introduced to a new culture, and people will, you know, then they're going to pass your name along and say, you know who you should meet. So I think it's people, you know, like that's what makes the world go round, and relationships and nurturing them. Not just that one time, but like the gentleman that I offered to buy a cup of coffee, well, I'm having breakfast with him on Thursday. because I will reach out to him and make sure that he knows just how much I appreciate him. That relationship, maybe he and I have never done business and we may never, but he's a mentor now and he's going to be part of my orbit forever because he, you know, set me on that path. So it's when people invest in you, it's just not one and done, but to just stay connected and make sure that they know how valuable they are.
When building relationships, has there been a time where it was at the moment, like just an absolute failure or just put you back a little bit, but it allowed you to move forward to eventually obtain just massive unknown success?
Yeah, I think you learn something with every relationship. And I think there's been times where even with my clients, that started and it was going to be, I would even say my clients probably have helped the most because I told you, like, I just started. And so now it is all referral based. And so one tells another, says, oh my gosh, this can be so valuable for you. And oh, by the way, you can feel retired at the same time and still be successful. And so I think, you know, something that seems small and it's like, this is just one can completely, you know, if you do a good job and you put everything into it, then it continues. And I just wrote a client, you know, I wrote three of my clients tonight and said, I have a potential client, but they need references. Can you chat with them? You know? And so you're constantly leaning on people. So you've got to keep those relationships. You still have to work hard because you never know when you're going to need them. So yeah, I mean, it just continues to compound. I think the most interesting part now, and I use like a client relations manager, so like a CRM, and I know you probably do too with podcasts, but I always joke that I'm like, I feel like the service should issue you one like a year before you get out, because you've got to manage all these people and who to follow up with and all the things that when you're inside of this silo, you don't really do that. Like you don't feel like you have to follow up with the person you just worked with in the G3. You know, you just like you do your job and you move on. But when you get out into the civilian world, I think that it's so important is to nurture those relationships and following up with them. And so using systems that keep you organized so that you actually do that, you know, and when the time's passed, you follow up and you say, just checking in. If you need anything, let me know.
Is there a specific example you have where you didn't follow up? And it ended up being, at the time, a detriment.
You know, probably it's more of I should have reached out to them more often, or maybe it's been too long and they might have showed interest, or they sent me a note and said, I want to learn more. And after that one conversation, I didn't continue. I was like, I told them they weren't interested. And there's probably people that would say, I know that like, my CRM would say like 3 to 5 or 7, especially when you're selling stuff. It's like, you just keep peppering them. I just don't feel like that's kind of my thing, but I probably should follow up once or twice more. And so there has been times that I felt like I might've given up on that one a little too soon, but I think it kind of goes back to what we started with, which is like, you know what? Like, I know what value I bring, and when you're ready, you'll know where to find me.
Misty Cook, as we kind of wrap up the episode, how are you better today than yesterday?
Gosh, every single day, I think. I look back and think definitely setting those goals and following up and being honest with myself to know that if I didn't, just to be busy does not mean I'm going to be successful, that I need to like make sure that I'm making specific goals, making sure that I take care of my people and everybody feels that they're important and valued as they are. And I think probably the most important is knowing that I'm going to continue to grow and evolve. I told you at the beginning of this that, you know, my hope is to help veterans start businesses. It's not just going to be general officers, but in the next year to be able to expand and help anybody start a business and just be able to do it on a grander scale. So I hope that at the end of this year, we get to come back together and I'm like, I helped 500 people, you know, achieve their dreams and they just didn't know how to do it. And now I've given them a roadmap. So I think being open to evolving and growing and learning.
What was the growth that happened today?
Another sales call. I think every single time I get on a call and I explain what I do and how I do it, you get better at articulating it so that it's a no-brainer and it just makes sense to them. And when they get done and they say, wow, that's really exactly what I need, then I know I'm getting better because at the beginning it might be, you know, it's just not as succinct. It's kind of like your 30-second pitch gets better and better. And so I think today, I'm going to end today knowing that that went really well and I feel really good about it. And I was clearly able to articulate what I can bring to the table.
And you have done a great job of articulating what you bring to the table on this episode. Misty, where can people go find out more about you and what you do over at COC?
Yeah. So you can either find me on my website. And then the other thing is definitely LinkedIn. I publish content every week. And so you can always send me a message there. Or you can send an email and I can provide that as well.
Perfect. I'll make sure we link the website, LinkedIn, and the email address in the show notes for this episode. Misty, thank you so much for sharing your strategies, your methods, your tactics. And most importantly, thanks for having our six. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
Sixers, Bruce Lee said, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." I hear that and I think of the team over at Bridge Build. I own a Phoenix squat rack and it is the absolute ultimate piece of gym equipment that I have at the house. Heavy duty construction, versatile design, and the ability to fold up for limited space. Not to the wall, not to the floor. You just fold it up on wheels, move it wherever it needs to go. Head over to bridgebuild.com and upgrade your gym today to the Phoenix squat rack. Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. If you got something out of this, be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.